My name is Tom. I'm the associate pastor here. And isn't it so comforting to know that he is returning? He is coming back to set this all right. And in the meantime, we do have a job to do. We are ambassadors, good news ambassadors, bringing a message of reconciliation. And yesterday, most of you know that we had an event here called Gospel Conversations. And a man named Josh Gardner came up to lead us through this training. He came all the way from South Carolina. Kelly, if you could put his picture on the screen there, that's Josh and his wonderful family. So like I said, Josh came here yesterday to lead us through the Gospel Conversations. We talked about the Great Commission, our identity as new creations in Christ. We talked about our field of impact, who we could reach with the message of the gospel. We learned how to share our testimonies briefly in 15 seconds, and we learned how to lead someone to Christ with a method called the Three Circles. And the day flew by. We started at 9, and we were done at 4, and it felt like we were just getting started. And a lot of people reached out to me. It was like, oh, did you record this, or how can I get in on this? I got some good news for you. So this training, it's designed to be simple and reproducible. And so if you know someone who went to this training and you want to get filled in, they can fill you in on all those things I just talked about and teach them to you in about an hour. So reach out to somebody that you knew that went to the events and they can fill you in on that. If you don't know anybody, reach out to me and I'll set you up with somebody who can train you in this. And our plan was to go out this afternoon after church, to go into Waterville, engage some people, get some, to put what we learned into practice. The weather is not cooperating, so we decided to call an audible. Josh is available for a few hours, a couple hours before we have to go down to bring him to the airport, and he's agreed to hang out in the Bealey Center after Kids Church dismisses. We'll be over there about, I'd say, 11:30. And he is going to give us a crash course in what I just talked about. Those four questions, the why of the gospel, who are we going to share it with, what the gospel actually is, and when you're going to do it, those four questions he will answer for us and give us a crash course in the training over in the Bealey Center after church at about 11:30. So if you're available, come on over, hang out. We'll have some food available, leftovers from yesterday. So if you like subs from Firehouse, you're welcome. Kids, bring your kids. You don't need to leave them in childcare or anything like that. It would be awesome to be able to teach this to kids too and have them be a part of that training. And as you know, in case you haven't heard, the last couple of weeks we've made extra effort to make it more welcoming for kids and their parents. Don't run out after service. Over in the far side of the hub, we'll have juice boxes for the kids to hang out around a table, doodle pads, and all that wonderful stuff. And again, the kids are welcome. Now, even if you can't make it today for this 411 crash course training, there are going to be other opportunities in the future. Like I said, the day flew by, it was packed, and we didn't even have a chance to cover all that we wanted to talk about. So we are going to reproduce this training quite often. We're going to do that on our Wednesday night disciple growth track in a couple of months. We'll break down the day and focus on certain topics as we work through all this. So there will be plenty of other opportunities for you to get this training. And even if you've been yesterday, I'm sure you realize that this is the kind of thing, the more you do it, the more reps you get, the more practice, the more equipped and confident you are going to be able to share your faith in a winsome and effective way. So Josh is here this morning to preach, and he is so busy. I don't know how he finds time to do all this. And he just flew up from a conference in Florida the day before. He was here to share with us on Saturday. He's preaching today, flying back home this afternoon. And he has a ministry opportunity in Southeast Asia. His family, some of the members of his family and his, are going to Southeast Asia very soon. Now, you're going to see in your printed announcements a QR code that you can scan or Josh's email. That's a way for you to get in contact with him so you can reach out, offer prayers, and support. So I'd encourage you to do that. Get on that email information list. And now I'd like to introduce to you Josh. Here you are. Come on up. And before he preaches... Before I turn over the pulpit to him and he starts preaching, let's say a word in prayer for Josh. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for Josh's surrendered heart to you. God, thank you just for his willingness to set aside his own comforts, willingness to die to self, to come up here and be your servant in so many ways. Such an amazing thing to witness. God, may the may all that we talked about and trained about yesterday, may it bear glory and bear fruit unto your glory, Lord. God, I ask that you would bless his words today, bless his family and his mission to Southeast Asia, Lord. God, we pray all this knowing that you have overcome and the gates of hell will not prevail against this church as you build it. So we pray with absolute confidence and we ask for your blessing upon his upcoming mission to Southeast Asia. Now we pray this all in the name and the authority of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. If you would, I want to, at 10:02, it's a habit of my life to pray for laborers to be sent out to the nations. So go ahead and grab a hand of someone next to you, and we're going to offer this prayer up to the Lord all together. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of the harvest. Send forth laborers, Father, into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and tell him the Holy Spirit really has something to say to you today. Go ahead. Go tell him. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been sitting there and you're like, man, I really wish my wife was here to hear this, you know? In all honesty, I want to show you one more prayer. It's a prayer I do with my children called the breakfast benediction. Anyone ever heard of it? It's the breakfast benediction. All right. So this is what I teach my kids. Go ahead. Go with your hands like this. I want you to just go ahead and repeat after me. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am who Jesus says I am. Beloved of God. Don't have to hurry. I don't have to worry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Amen. It's, yeah, that prayer is good. Isn't it? I did not write it. I think it was Henry Nouwen. And, it's so true though, right? You know, yesterday we did a training and it was all about identity. Who has Jesus said that we are? We all lost an hour's sleep. Amen. So I'm going to give you two trick questions just to get it rolling. Let's just turn our brains on. You know, like any other missionaries like me in here? It's a trick. I told you I'd trick you ahead of time. As the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. So I'll give you another chance. All right? One more time. How many of us are missionaries in here? Yeah, we all are. It's not my, I'm not telling you are. He said you are. Remember, I am who Jesus says I am. Right? Anyone who's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. All these things are from God, who reconciled the world to himself, and he declares you to be an ambassador. You are on mission. An ambassador is a missionary. That's what you are. That's what the word says you are. It's not who I'm telling you are, even though I'm joining him in that effort. Amen? It's who you are. How are you doing in that? I'm here to ask how you really are. And I just want to encourage you. I am just so grateful to be here. You have an awesome pastor. I wish he was, you know, in South Carolina. No, I'm not going to try to steal him. But my goodness, a pastor that loves you, that it just loves being up here in a heart. I know you guys think I'm from the South. I'm actually from New Jersey. So like down there, they call me a Yankee. And here I'm a Southerner. So it's like really weird, you know. But Tom and I have just really enjoyed just hanging with you and talking with you and everyone, you know, he's like, man, I know I'm not this, not that. I'm awkward sometimes. Right? And people are like, yeah, well, you should have seen him a couple years ago. you know, and I'm like, man, we went and shared the gospel and we went and talked with waitresses. We went out and then I listened to his sermon where he was talking about how he would break conversations, open them up and share his story. And you know, if God can use a guy like Tom, I'm just kidding. But you know, God is calling, introverts, extroverts, people who think they're, have gifts and abilities. He's asked all of us just to be obedient to him. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. So if you would, turn in your Bible, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is where we'll be. Sometimes I like giving notes. sometimes it's good to just listen and engage. You don't have any notes today, so you're just going to have to go ahead and take notes maybe. You know, taking notes helps you remember 10%. If you don't want to remember 10, just remember 5. That's what lectures do. But a dull pencil, though, is better than a sharp mind. Amen. So there you go. Like, just, I want to encourage you. It has been my privilege, just to share the gospel, to train others. We trained yesterday. For those who was here, give me a little shout. Woo! Yesterday. All right. Yeah, you know, it was an amazing time. I have a slide I want to show you, just the very first one. And, that kind of explains what I do as a missionary and even what, E3 does, E3 Partners. Another word for E3 Partners is I Am Second. If you ever heard of I Am Second, it's the same organization. And, it might come up, might not. But it's, the four fields of kingdom growth, in the made to multiply training is just us looking very closely and intently at what Jesus did when he was here. Jesus was always following a pattern, and he was entering new areas. He was sharing the gospel. He was growing disciples, and he was starting gatherings, churches, right? And then he was forming new leaders who knew how to do that same thing. Yesterday was all about fields 1 and 2. We were talking about who do we know that's far from God that really needs to hear about God? And what are we going to tell them? You know, how do we bridge that conversation and share our story and share God's story? And if that really interests you, we really, really, really want you to be there. You know, if you go grab some food and come back wherever we're meeting and training, we would love for you to come and even hear more about that. But I want to tell you a story. So it's hard to explain what I do, so I like to tell this story. So I'm dead asleep on a Saturday morning, and my son comes busting in my bedroom door. And it's like, anyone sleep in on Saturdays? It's like the one day that I sleep in typically. You do? Okay. Other people. So it's 7 a.m. He busts in the door. Dad! And I'm like, oh no, he hurt his brother. You know, what is happening? And he goes, Dad, there's this cat stuck in a bush. And I hate cats. You know, like, I just don't like them. Like, they think they're God, you know? You know, dogs, like, think you're, like God, you know? But cats, they're just so, anyway, I had a bad cat growing up. I have PTSD. So he was just like, there's this stray cat. And I'm like, oh, this thing's going to have all kinds of disease. This is going to be, like, my whole morning. And I was like, hey, buddy, just go tell your sister. You know, like, I didn't want to, you know, I just rolled over, just not engaged. And then he came back in with neighbors. You gotta help. You know, now he's crying, and now he's crying, and he's got beautiful blue eyes, my son. You know, like, and just like, I was like, all right, we gotta rescue this cat. You know, and we did, the sickly cat, and it had poison ivy all over it. Like, everyone that rescued this thing got poison ivy, like, just everywhere. Like, I was like, the cost of saving this cat was hundreds of dollars to my family from just the poison ivy, you know, alone. And I just got to thinking about that's kind of like my job, but with people. You know, like, I think we should rescue people trapped in darkness. Right? Amen? You know, they're really, it's really true. And how do we do that? And I think there's a shift. You know, my brother who went to Passion, there's a shift coming. And I think it is here. I was with 5,000 leaders, and I want to read you what we were talking about. This is what they said. We are going to shift in our time from reaching to making, from informing to equipping, from attending to attaching, from striving to thriving, and from accumulating to deploying. That's what the shift that is happening in the church. From reaching to making, from informing to equipping, from attending to attaching, from striving to thriving, and from accumulating to deploying. But how are we going to do it? We're going to have to make disciples. Who make disciples. that tell others. We identified a target yesterday that we think roughly, this is a rough fact, that there are about 32,000 of your fellow neighbors, loved ones, and friends far from God in this city. It would be 95 out of 100 people you walk by. Incredible amount. Trapped in darkness, blind to their sin. The veil is there. And as Paul said, how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can someone tell them unless someone goes, right? Unless someone is sent. I remember what Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so have I now sent you. You are sent ones to this city, the place you live, the place you work, the place you study. Amen? You have been sent. You are on a mission right now, perhaps your most important mission. And I think the fuel for that mission are the key to our success. Does anyone remember the movie Space Jam, where Michael Jordan gave all the cartoons the secret stuff? I have not come with secret stuff. You already have it. Right? You already have it. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you have everything you need for this mission. And this is what he said in John 15. Let's read it together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you unless you abide in me. Listen very carefully. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is so important. Take this deep in your soul. This next verse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Isn't that beautiful? As the Father loves Jesus, that's how much he loves you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept them, my Father's commands, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, because servants don't know what the master is doing. I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Listen, this is another good one. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you, that you should go, bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Ask the Father, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, love one another. Amen. It might be my favorite chapter in the whole thing. Right now, it is at least. So I'm going to ask you another question. On the sign out there, it says, Lord, teach us to number our days. The end of our days are coming. They're coming quickly. And I want to ask you another trick question, I promise too. And the brightest college students in the land right here in the front three rows, right? Here we go. Trick question, I told you, ready? What can you take with you when you die? Come on. What? Thank you. I'll buy you a coffee after this. You can take people with you. The answer is not nothing. You can take people. Right? Amen? Can't take any of the stuff. And I hope that will inform your life. It's a powerful exercise to number your days and imagine what people are going to say when you die. And you can take people. So if you were to make a list of all the people you wish you could take, who'd be on that list? You know, I literally travel around and have people make lists, and I try to get them to see it, right? Like, it's your family. You know, get all of your family on the ark. Like, I'm saved because my father heard the gospel from his brother who was worried that he was going to hell. Someone like, I probably didn't even share the gospel, like the whole thing, and just told him like, do you know where you're going to go? You could go to hell if you don't know God. And my uncle prayed to receive Christ, some random stranger on the beach in New Jersey, and then drove to Florida. He was so worried about his brother. He drove to Florida. My mom was pregnant with my sister, and they got married because they were good Catholics and didn't follow the Lord at all. And literally, you know, literally, he shared the gospel. My uncle shared the gospel with my father. My father read the book of John and gave his life to Christ. You know, and then my mom said, oh no, I'm married to a religious nut. And she said, I'm not going to grow up in another abusive Catholic home if that's what you did. And he's like, I don't think I'm Catholic. You know, he didn't even know. He's like brand new in Jesus, you know. And, she goes, you're going to pick. That's all I know is you're going to pick. You're going to choose this day, me, this son and our baby, or this God. And the Holy Spirit filled my father's mouth and he said, I choose you both. You know. And then she got in the car. My mom's world-class stubborn and drove to New Jersey, you know. And on the way, she pulled over on the side of the road and just couldn't believe my father's decision. And the Holy Spirit compelled her to turn around. And I grew up in a believing home. What's your story? Who told you? Do you remember? Anyone remember the day? Someone told you? Or someone told your father? You remember it? Man, we're trying to get back to that, right? I'm just trying to get back to that. And so I want to share this. I want to give you some hints, I think, to know you've been informed. I'm not the first person to suggest that you guys have been sent. I'm not the first person to show you the Great Commission. I know that you know that Jesus said it 5 times. I know that you know it's important what Jesus says. I know that you know that he has all authority. I know that we all are really busy. I know that you know that it's the most important thing on earth to share the gospel. Right? I know that you know this, but I want to ask about your obedience. So let's get a good definition here. Here's a definition of obedience I really like if you're taking notes. It's when we do as expected, when expected, as he would have us do it. This is obedience. It's kind of like anyone that's a parent in here. It's like, hey, go upstairs and make your bed. Right? I'm expecting them to do it as I want, like the whole thing. I expect them to do it when I asked. Right? Because they can't delay. Right? If I'm like, hey, go make your bed right now. And they're like, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. That is not obedience. Right? And now I'm having a different conversation because we're supposed to, all of us, right? What is the purpose of a church? To draw people into Christ. And then to form Christ in you. How do we form Christ in you? That's the real problem. And so here it is. We do as expected, when expected, as he would have us. And this is the joy that we have, right? We know that Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. And did you hear it in John 15? It said, if you obey me, if you keep my commands, my joy will be in you and I'll make your joy full. So go ahead, look at your neighbor again and be like, this is about joy. Go ahead, tell him. This is about joy. Yeah, yeah. How would you like full joy? Go ahead, ask him. You know, how would you like full joy? How's that sound? You know? I think that's what we're talking about. How would you like to experience, if this is your first time in here, I'm so sorry. Come back next week to Pastor Brett. You know, but listen, I just, this is one shot. So let's just have a really honest conversation. I'm actually here to check on you and for you to go to a few people in here that really love you and know you. Hopefully you have a show up place here where you can really show up, and it's okay to not be okay, right? We just went through trauma the last few years. And now there's political trauma coming, and then there's sickness and death and losing jobs and all the things of life. Amen. There's hard things in this life. Luckily, we have a great God and we can endure these crazy circumstances. But I'm here to check on your soul and how you're doing, attaching to God. Remember, we're going from attending to attaching. We want to attach to him. He loves you with the love the Father had for his Son, who he loved, who was actually sent to die for you and for what you've done. That's how much he loves you. And I want to know, do you love him? What would be the proof of that? Is it that you're sitting here? You know, what is it? It's a sign, right? Y'all, listen, in the South, being here on a Sunday morning means nothing. Everyone does it. They do it for like real estate connections. You know, almost no one is in a small group in the South right now. It's all for show. And here's the difference. This is what I want to ask you this morning. This is an intense question. Are you a Christmas tree or are you a tree? A Christmas tree is cut off from the ground and the source of water. And it looks alive, but it's actually dying. The tree is connected to the roots, to the water, right? And it's going to grow. What's the purpose of a tree? Another question. I know we all lost an hour of sleep. What's the purpose of it? Don't be nervous. I know. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll buy you all coffee. You get it wrong. To bear fruit. Thank you for saying the wrong answer. Tom? I was hoping it was you. I didn't want to embarrass you. I love you. The purpose of a tree is to make another tree. It bears fruit, right? But its purpose, it was made to reproduce. Just like you were made to reproduce. Just like even physically, you were made to reproduce. We bear fruit. We spread these seeds. They grow. We know not how. We put off the seeds. The seed is the gospel and the field is the world, right? Yeah, just imagine a massive pine tree, right? Like it's in an ecosystem and it puts off these seeds and thousands of them. And they don't all grow, but some grow. But it is designed to reproduce. You were made to be a disciple that makes disciples. From there, we have no clue what will happen. We're only sons in the kingdom. So, but here's what's required, really quickly. Here's what's required to really obey Jesus. And I would say another way to say it, to really love Jesus. So here it is. First, you have to agree with him mentally and in your heart. And here's the question to answer. Does he have the right to ask you what he's asking you to do? Like when he said, with all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, go make disciples. Does he have the right to tell you that? Does he have the right? So you have to agree there. First is agreement. Second thing is belief. Is it true what he's saying? And is it truly necessary? I would say because of who he is, because of what he's done. It's true. He's never told a lie. And it's truly necessary because he has all the authority. So agreement and belief. Give me an amen, church. Yeah, you agree with me so far? You believe we're supposed to. You agree and you believe it. Do you trust God? Do you think what he's asked of us is right? And I would say, I bet you it's 100% in here that you guys know this and you believe it's true and you trust him. Anyone here, just show of hands for it, for the visitor that's visiting us, wondering like, what's this all about? Does God really answer prayer? Anyone here have answered prayer in their life? Just show me. Look at this. Look around the room. It's nearly all of you, right? Anyone have God deliver you out of like almost an impossible circumstance? Anyone had like, this is crazy, a physical healing before? You know, like someone prayed for you, one, two, three, four. I mean, he still heals. That's amazing. You know, like all this stuff. Okay, just wanted to show you in case you're visiting today and you're wondering what this is all about. God really has power. He's still at work. He's still moving. He's still doing all these things. Now, here's the hardest question in the world. You ready? Have you submitted to this? Because that's required for obedience. Have you submitted? Submission is the idea that despite the personal cost, despite your feelings, despite your comfort, you have submitted to a life of making disciples. It means you do it with your time, with your energy. It's not a mentorship relationship. This person would know you're discipling them and they would tell others, this guy disciples me. That's what it would mean. And then lastly, have you taken the action step? So there's agreement, there's belief, there's trust, there's submission, and there's action. This is what it means that you do what's asked fully and with a good attitude. Anyone here like begrudgingly obeyed Jesus before? You know, it's hard. You know, I'm like, especially when they ask for your money up in here. Like, oh man, I find that's the hardest thing for me to give. Right? It's just like the hardest thing. So I want to encourage you. And I hope this doesn't get me in trouble. If you don't have money to give, we don't expect you to give. You know, like if you don't have, you can only give from what you have. You know, but also I want to tell you something. What if you could write on a piece of paper? Pretend you're a poor college student. You guys don't have to pretend. You know, pretend you're poor. You know, and you're eating ramen every day. you know, and is there anything that you could give to God today? If you could give him your obedience and you were going to walk out and give it to him, you know, and write it down and only he would read it in that box, I would encourage you to do it. What have you given him? Have you given him your time, your prayer, your service, you know, your love for others, your the gospel sharing you could give him, right? The fasting and praying. There's so many things that we can give him. You know, being kind to strangers, welcoming to the foreigner, clothing the homeless. There's so many things that we could give him today. And this church is interested in that, that you would activate and make disciples that make disciples. And so here's the question too. Is Jesus worthy? You know, like, is he asking us to do something that he didn't do, in other words? So how is Jesus obedient? In John 5, in John 6, in John 12, in John 14, don't have time to read them all, he said things like this: I go everywhere the Father told me to go. I say everything the Father told me to say. In fact, it's my pleasure to do it. What the Father's will, that's what I do. What the Father has told me to say, I say. And over and over and over again, Jesus is obeying. Over and over and over. As an example to us, to obey him just like that. So he obeyed the Father, and then when he leaves, he's saying what? I and the Father are one. Right? As the Father sent me, so now I send you. Right? And so, but let me ask you this. How did the early disciples obey? This is what we know from church history, that the early disciples, that they got the Great Commission, that they waited on the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost came, and then they went off like a time bomb. They went all over the world sharing the gospel. They were almost all martyred, if not all. You know, some sold themselves. Thomas, I found out, sold himself into slavery to reach slaves. You know, doubting Thomas that we give a hard time at Easter, you know? You know, like, wow. Can you imagine the love you must have? No one wants to be a slave. You know, to sell yourself into it to reach them. You know, missionaries used to leave with their coffin, you know, out of Herrnhut, Germany. You know, Moravians all over the world. They prayed for 100 years. They would sing 100 hymns before they left. You know, they're, people have sacrificed and given. Why? Because we're in like a copycat business. Jesus said, imitate me, right? Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can it be said of you? So this is the part where it's going to be challenging. How are you obeying right now? How are you doing? How are you doing abiding in Jesus? You know, sometimes we don't know ourselves so well, but sometimes maybe just think of like your son or best friend. If you led someone to Christ today, if you got a three circle sticker even, and you know, shared it with someone, they were like, oh my goodness. Like my friend Justin, he shared across the street with a hotel manager. And after he shared with her, she prayed to receive Jesus. She was like, and this is what she said to him: I've been waiting for this. Man, I've been waiting for this. If you met someone and they told you, man, I've been waiting for this, and then they looked at you and said, what do you do to pray? Like, I know it's important talking to God. Would you recommend your prayer life to them? You know, would you know how to lead them in a simple Bible study if you were like, you have to read the Bible? And they're like, well, how do you read it? You know? And then you start to realize this whole thing is rigged, y'all, right? This whole thing is rigged, that Jesus wants us to make disciples to in an effort to continue to train us, to continue to mold us. You don't have to have all the answers. He has all the answers right here, right? And his Spirit and his Word continue to inform us. So how are you doing in the Word? How are you doing loving God? Like, how would you, I would encourage you to talk like this with your wife, your kids, and say, what are we going to do to love God this week? You know, what's the way that we could show we love God? You know, the Great Commission is often what I'm asked to talk about, expected to talk about. And you know what I really want to talk about? I want to talk about the greatest commandment, where he said, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor like you love yourself. How are you doing loving your neighbor? Another good question there is, do you know your neighbor's first names? Do you know the kids in your dorms, names? Do you know the kids next to you in class? If you're in a high school, do you know the people in the lockers next to you? The people on your volleyball team? The guys you go fishing with? You know, the different things. Are you asking and loving neighbors and having spiritual conversations, having loving opportunity, inviting them into your home and enjoying your hospitality, finding out their story, and then creating an opportunity where they might ask you, hey, why are you so nice? Are you just the nicest guy, worship leader guy that, you know, just like good, great smile, bro? You must have had it all put together. You must have it all going on. And then he'd be like, man, no, actually, man, Jesus changed my life. You know, that's why I do this. That's why I work here. That's why I'm going there. I have a call in my life. And people are like, what? What's that about? And we want you to create opportunities. We want you to feel equipped to do that. And, we want you to have a spiritual recipe that you love, that you're giving to your children and you're giving to, spiritual children, you know, that you're a son in the faith, a daughter in the faith, and that you are, completely dedicated to, that you're going to love the rest of your life. So my question today is, have you decided, to obey the word of God and the spirit of God? Have you made a decision before you came in here to say, Lord, whatever you have to say to me, I'll do it? Because the Bible talks about, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Amen? So what is he saying to you? You know, one time at a wedding, the servants were like, what should we do? And Mary looked at them and said, well, just do everything he tells you. do anything he tells you. I think it's the best advice. You know, what is he telling you? How would you know it was him? You know, you'll hear him in his word. You'll hear him over and over again say these kinds of things. Abide in me and let my words abide in you. We have his words. It's these, guys. We have to let these abide in us. And abiding isn't alone in the forest, you being in silence and solitude with Jesus. Abiding is happening right now together. Abiding was happening yesterday when we were training. Abiding is happening in Celebrate Recovery. Abiding is happening when you're in the car with your son talking about spiritual things. You know, abiding can happen in so many ways. And I want to ask you and highly recommend to you that if you are only coming to church 2 to 3 hours a month or 3 hours a week, how can we possibly make disciples? We can't. It's going to cost you your life. I hope someone should have told you that on the front end. No one told me on the front end. I thought it was just a free trip to heaven. You know, and so I just wanted to tell you, you know, it's not like the Francis Chan says, you know, here's the rolling skates, skate whenever you want. It's more like here's the ice skates. Welcome to the Olympic team. You know, so we want you to, everyone wants you to know that you know that you know that you have been called by God to himself, right? Called to him, and he will give you what you need. He has given you gifts already. He's given you passions. He's given you a story, and he wants you to use them with your family, your friends, others, where you live, work, and play. And then even, like for my case, even people far off that have never, ever, ever heard the gospel. Ever. They've never heard it. You know, I don't know if the slides will work right now, but I have, give me a thumbs up. No, okay, just checking. Okay, so, I'll point this out right here. You guys are a part of this. Just last year, you know, through E3 and around the world in over 80 countries, I want to give you something to celebrate. It's just a kingdom win. There were over 200,620 leaders trained in the type of training that we did yesterday. So now 2,670, you know, like because we trained 50 yesterday. We saw a baptism in the network around the world every 90 seconds, you know, every 90 seconds, 637,308 baptisms in the world because the Holy Spirit is moving through his people and people are wanting to obey Jesus. And we saw out of those responses to the gospel, baptisms and continued to live life together, over 51,000 churches planted. You know, just unbelievable explosion of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the 1040 window, latitude, longitude on the earth, the most unreached, unengaged people on earth. And I never know what someone looks like that might give their life to that. So I just want to tell you how I got there. I think we just start making disciples one at a time. And you just keep saying yes to Jesus. You just keep saying yes. You know, you keep giving him a blank check. You know, and let him write your story. And so for me and my family, we really feel like we just want to co-labor with Jesus until every lost sheep is found. So we talk about calling, right? And the band's about to come up and we're about to end, but we talk about calling a lot. And I'll tell you what got me is that I was in a room like this and a preacher like just got up there at Liberty University. I was 19. And he said, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And I thought, you know what? I've never really done that. And I started to do that. And then 2 days later, another guy got up and said, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And I went, oh no, I want to be a baseball teacher. You're like, you know, like a history teacher and a baseball coach. And I wanted to move back home. I had all these intentions. Then I went to a church in New Jersey, where my family lives, and the pastor got up and he said, the harvest is plentiful. Laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of harvest. So 3 times in the same week, the same message. And I was like, oh no. You know, I just thought living for Jesus and vocational ministry was just the worst idea. You know, I was just like, oh man, I never thought I'd be doing this. And I have to tell you, church, what a joy to be someone that trains and equips others. Please pray for our family. You know, it's not like I really know how to reach Malaysians. I'm just willing to do it. Anyway, I said it. But it doesn't matter. That's where we're going. And literally on Easter Sunday, I'll be in the, my friend is taking us into the jungle, and we'll be preaching the gospel to villages in the jungle. And if you would have told me that when I was 19, I'd be doing that, I just never thought I'd be doing that. And I'm so excited for you. You have healthy leaders. You have a healthy church. And we talk about revival a lot. We sang about it just now. We heard an announcement about it. You heard about an event about it. And as the band comes up soon, I want to ask you this. Do you want it for you? Do you want revival for you? There used to be an old preacher, and what he told everyone to do, if you really want revival, if you want revival in Waterville, I know the secret. Would you like to know? Okay, you ready? You get a piece of chalk, and then you go home, and then you draw a circle around yourself, and then you ask God to do whatever he wants in that circle. Right? You have to let it start with you. Let it start with your family. Let it start with turning to him and doing anything he tells you to do. So remember these key points from this. How do you know you love God? You agree with him. You believe him at his word. You take him on it. You trust in him. You submit to him. And then you act on it. If you'll do that, you're going to make so many disciples who make disciples who make disciples. You'll have spiritual grandchildren. In my whole life, not only in the last 4 years, have my disciples made disciples who've made disciples. And I was tempted, Pastor Brad, I was tempted to keep them all. I thought I would just keep them. We would go from, you know, just me and my wife at first, and then it was 10 of us, then it was 30 of us, then it was 60 of us. And then I thought, ooh, I really like this accumulating thing. You know, let's just keep keeping them. And then, but I really wanted the church to be like arrows sent out into the world. And then one time we were praying together, and I said, how many of you are called to the nations? And they all raised their hand, and I should have been happy, and instead I went, oh no. You know? And then they all left. You know, it was beautiful and sad. And I imagine if for your future, you're going to have some beautiful and sad moments. You know, but there'll be proud moments as your church transitions and into this really beautiful sending. And you already are doing it, but just even more, I think you're going to experience in the coming days, sending, equipping, training at like a higher level. And you're invited even as soon as today to come see what I'm talking about and experience it for yourself. Grab a hand and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, just in this moment, I just want to ask for you to just speak to your people the same way you did to me. Let us be a people that abide in you. And so I told you I'd ask you this question, just sitting there in your seat, just for this moment, between you and God, and maybe one other person you leave here and talk to about it. Are you a tree? or are you a Christmas tree? Remember, there's two kinds of Christmas trees. There's the just fake one. It was never a tree. It's just plastic. For many years of my life, I was a fake tree. Didn't have any relationship with God. It wasn't real to me. I had no relationship. Then there's trees that were, they were once real trees. And they got cut from the source. Maybe for some of you, you haven't really connected with God in a long time. Maybe it's been a week. Maybe it's been a few days for some of you. Maybe it's been a year. Maybe you've never connected to God. Maybe you've never transformed. Never allowed him permission to be Lord. You wanted him to be a savior, but not your Lord. And then there's some of you here, you're a tree. You're faithful. You're available. You're teachable. And maybe some, it's time for you to lead out in your example and share the gospel. Make disciples. So all these saplings all around us see what a tree is and desire to be one. So which tree are you? Just between you and the Lord, I'm just going to be quiet for like 30 seconds. Which one are you? Ask him. He'll tell you. Lord, which one am I? Just ask him. Lord Jesus, I just, people say, man, you're gone from your family. And I just remember when you said, people came to you and said, oh, your family's here. And he said, my family are those who do the will of my Father. So what a joy to be with my family this weekend. And I bless them in your holy name, that there would be a forest emerge from here, an ecosystem where everyone plays, where everyone is believing and trusting in you, where it's safe to not be okay, where people are informed and equipped and are attaching to you and to one another. We know saved people save others. Charles Spurgeon said, if hell must be filled, let it be filled with the teeth of our exertions. And if people must go to hell, let them not go unwarned, uncared for, without someone pleading with them and grabbing them by the knees. And I pray that this church would be a church on mission with great urgency, with great passion, and great faithfulness. Stand with us and let's sing.